Friends in Christ, I consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us on the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. I have heard about some people doing a cost-benefit analysis before, but I'm not a real businessy guy, so I thought I didn't know what that means until I Googled it this week. Turns out it's pretty simple. You just have to figure out if something is worth the price of it. So, for instance, if I was gonna offer to buy Molly some Chick-fil-A, she'd be like, yep, that's good, I want the Chick-fil-A, and then I bring it to her and I say, okay, you owe me $100. She's gonna say, well, that's not worth it. I could get that chicken way cheaper myself, so it's not worth the cost. Cost-benefit analysis, okay. Have you ever considered doing a cost-benefit analysis with Jesus? God doesn't ever charge anyone money to get into heaven, so it's not about dollars and cents, but that doesn't mean following Jesus is easy. And there's a lot of hard things that come with being a Christian, so Jesus thought of this, and in Luke chapter 14, Jesus wants us to do a cost-benefit analysis. He wants us to ask this: is following Jesus worth the cost? And as we read through here, we're going to see that it will be hard if we follow Jesus. And if we follow Jesus, we're going to need to trust him. But if you follow Jesus, you'll be really happy you did. When Jesus told this section from Luke chapter 14, he had just finished telling a story that made it clear that heaven is a free gift for everyone. He compared it to a banquet where everyone is invited and anyone can come in, and it's got the best food and the best music and it's the best thing in the world, and people love free stuff. So there was a huge crowd that followed Jesus around. And then he turned to them and he told them, consider this: is following me worth the cost? First, you should know that if you follow Jesus, it will be hard, and it might even affect your family. Here's what Jesus said. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus really want us to hate our family members? No. And I say no, even though the words on the screen say yes, not because those words make me uncomfortable. We don't get to just replace words in the Bible that make us feel weird. That's not a good idea. But when Jesus himself gives us a good reason to look for another meaning to a word, then it's good to see if that word ever means something else. And Jesus is the one who said this, but also said, as I have loved you, so you love one another. Jesus doesn't want us to think mean thoughts and do mean things to our family members. So we have to think, is the word hate ever used in the Bible to mean something other than be mean to people? And it turns out it is. It turns out that there's a story in the Old Testament in Genesis where Jacob married two wives. Not a good idea. That's not the point of the story. But the point is that he loved the one more. He loved Rachel more, and he loved Leah less. That's what the Bible says. It says Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. But then the next verse says this: when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. That's how people in Jesus' culture talked from ancient Israel. And they could use the word hate not to mean that you're going to try to hurt someone. Jacob didn't want to hurt Leah and do bad things to her. But he loved Rachel more. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. He's not saying we should be mean to our families, but he is saying that we should love him more than we love our families. And that's hard. Can you imagine someone coming to Jesus and saying, I want to follow you, but I'm afraid it might mess up my family? And based on this passage, Jesus might say something like, well, you don't get to know if it's going to mess up your family. You don't get to know if it's going to make things awkward at home. But what if it does? If you have to choose between doing things your family's way and doing things my way, do things my way, or you're not able to be my disciple. Following Jesus is really hard. And then he goes on. He says something else. He says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That wasn't hypothetical for people at Jesus' time. They could remember seeing a person actually pick up a cross, a really heavy beam, after they'd been beaten up by prison guards, and then they're stumbling, trying to carry this big, heavy log, and people are lined up to make fun of them because they're falling down. And then when they get to the end of that journey, they're nailed to the cross and killed. And then Jesus looks at his followers, who are all excited, and says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Yeah, following Jesus is really hard. And Jesus wants us to know that, because there are people today in today's world, and there are people back in Jesus' world, that want to follow Jesus, want to be his disciple, but they don't ever want to think about the hard stuff. Jesus thinks that's pretty dumb. He compares that to a builder who doesn't have what he needs to finish a job. So imagine you want to build a Lego house as big as a regular house so that you could actually live in it, right? And you're going to lay all your Legos out on the floor to see, okay, this is what I got to do to get started. And the first question anyone will ask you is, are you sure you have enough Legos to make a house that big? Because if you don't, you better figure out whether or not you want to do this. Jesus is saying the same thing. Are you sure you want to be my follower? Because if you don't have what it takes, you might want to think twice. You might count the cost of being my disciple. The Apostle Paul knew all about that. He knew what it might cost him to follow Jesus. He said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. But the Apostle Paul was a little different from that crowd at Jesus' time, because when he wrote that, he was already a follower of Jesus, just like a lot of people here today are. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, you know this is true, that sometimes being a Christian is hard. So why are we surprised when Jesus is right? Why do we get surprised when being a Christian makes our life complicated? When talking about Jesus makes it awkward at family reunions, that's the cost of following Jesus. When you don't just get to live carefree and do whatever you want, but instead you're sad about your sins, that's the cost of following Jesus. When other people make fun of you because you want to do the right thing, that's the cost of following Jesus. And following Jesus can be hard. What might you have to give up in the future now? What might you have to lose, like the Apostle Paul, going forward because you're a Christian? Well, the truth is, your struggle is going to be different from my struggle, and neither one of us gets to choose. Here's the tricky thing. We don't get to pick our crosses. Jesus does. That means that if you're going to follow Jesus, you'll need to trust him. You'll need to trust Jesus. And by trust in this sentence, I mean you think that Jesus can take care of you even if you don't know how he's going to do it. So trust is, in this sense, is kind of like if you go to a surprise party and somebody puts a blindfold on you and says, the surprise is in the other room. And then they take you by the hand and they're going to lead you. You don't know any of the details of what's going on around you. You don't know if you're about to bump your toe on the couch. You don't know where the walls are. You don't know where you're going. But you're following them, not because you know what's going to happen. You're following them because you trust them. Well, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to need to trust him, because we don't get to pick what's coming in our future. And we don't know the details of how it's going to work out. The fancy church word for that kind of trust is faith. And we read a story before from the Old Testament about Abram, who had amazing faith. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. So imagine you're Abram and you get this call from the Lord. You got to leave your home and all the stuff you know. What questions do you still have? Well, where are we going? And how long are we going to be there? And what's the weather like there? And what's my job going to be? And do I ever get to come back? But Abram doesn't know any of the details of what God's going to do. He just has to trust him. Is he going to do it? Well, we already read the story, so you know how it ends. But here's the last verse in that I want to focus on from verse 4. Abram left as the Lord told him. How could he do that? How do people walk forward into an unknown future trusting Jesus? Well, it's because the Lord had made him some pretty big promises in between. Here's what the verse is in between. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, Abram knew none of the details, but he knew that if he followed the Lord, it would be worth it. And it will be worth it for you too. That's our last point. If you follow Jesus, you'll be happy you did. And the reason I'm so confident about that is because of two little words that Jesus said. He did not say, if you want to be my follower, pick up your cross, you go that way, I'll meet you up in heaven. See you later. No. He said, pick up your cross, follow me. That means that wherever you are going with your struggles in your life, Jesus has already been there. He knows what it's like. It means that if you're following Jesus, you're always right behind him and he's always right next to you. And no matter what you go through now or in the future, no matter what hard thing comes into your life because you're a Christian, Jesus will do it with you. This is illustrated awesomely in the great story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And throughout that whole story, the kids who are the main characters run into all kinds of problems, and the one who always helps them out is the lion from the title, Aslan. And Aslan is he's helping them out, and so he becomes their dear friend and their great leader, and he's the one who makes them feel at peace even when they don't know what's going on, until the end. And there's a huge battle scene, and the kids are in the middle of the battle, and Aslan is nowhere to be found. Because they don't know this, but he's actually sacrificed himself and he's dead. Well, the kids are really freaking out in the middle of this battle because they think they're all by themselves. And then Aslan comes back from the dead. And he strides onto the battlefield and everything changes. Why? Because he's with them again. It's the same for us. When we know that Jesus is with us, it changes everything. But that's actually just the second best thing about following Jesus. Because the best thing about following Jesus is that when he said, pick up your cross and follow me, he knew what he was talking about. See, Jesus would also take up a cross and put it on his back and carry it while people made fun of him. And he would die on that cross to take away the sins of the world. But no matter what you have to endure as a Christian, Jesus' cross was worse. Because when Jesus was on the cross, God was not with him. He went through hell without his Father. He said, why have you forsaken me? But you know why God forsook Jesus. So that he would never, ever, ever have to forsake you. You know why Jesus had to pay for the sins of the world, so that you will never, ever have to pay for any of your sins. Whoever trusts in Jesus gets all the benefits of his life and death and his resurrection. And because of that, the best part of following Jesus is his promise of eternal life. I want to show you an illustration about that, about our eternal home in heaven, but I'm going to need to step out of the pulpit to do it. So you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit. So, I have here a rope. This is my rope, and this rope is symbolizing, you have to imagine this, it's symbolizing a timeline of your existence, all right? So imagine it goes on forever. It doesn't, it ends in that room over there. But imagine that it keeps going around the world a few times, and it never stops. This little gray part, that would represent your time here on Earth. And this little spot where it goes from gray to orange here, that would represent when your time on earth is done and your time after this earth begins. And here's what blows my mind, is that sometimes I only focus on this part right here. I only focus on what happens right here. So I think like, okay, these are the best parts of my life, so I got to really enjoy this because this is all I get. Or I'm thinking like, I got to work really hard through this part right here so that when I get to here, then I can really enjoy it. That's crazy. That's super crazy because what the Bible teaches is that what comes after this, all this and this and this and this, this is like a banquet with the best food and the best music and the best friendships and a close relationship with God like you can't even imagine. And all of it comes later. But the Bible also teaches this. Jesus said, what you do with this little one time here on earth, who you trust, and what you make your priorities here, determines what happens for the rest of time and billions of years later. So some people hear that I follow Jesus, even though it's hard. And they say, you're crazy because you have to go through all sorts of crosses and you have to be awkward with your family for this part. And I think, no, you're crazy. Because look at all of the blessings Jesus has prepared for us. So let's do a cost-benefit analysis with this in mind. Is following Jesus worth the cost? Well, it's going to be hard. And you're going to have to trust him because he won't tell you how the future goes. But if you trust in Jesus, if you keep following him, by his grace, you'll be really happy you did. That's an illustration from a different pastor that I didn't invent, but I want you to remember this when being a Christian gets hard. God grants that we all keep following Jesus to God's glory. Amen.